You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Back in December 2021, following years of advocacy from the Herne Bay Residents Group, the Waitemata Local Board on Auckland Council resolved their position around private helipads in urban residential areas. They wanted them prohibited. The trigger was a resource consent application that proposed increasing the number of helicopter flights allowed per week coming into a private property in Herne Bay. Council staff had for years argued that it would be almost impossible for applicants to get a consent granted, and yet in this case it was decided to let the application proceed without getting any input from the public. The owner, however, decided that the public should be allowed to speak and requested public notification. There were 130 submissions on the proposal, all against, and the application was withdrawn. It was clear, however, that with regulations as they were, applications might yet slip through. Waiheke Local Board and Aotea Great Barrier followed with resolutions of their own, requesting that planning rules around consenting new helipads were tightened up. The cause was taken up by Pippa Coombe, at the time the councillor for the Waitemata and Gulf Islands, and Councillor Chris Darby, at the time the Planning Committee Chair. Darby recommended a review of helicopter compliance, which was supported by the governing body in May 2022. It was due to report back before the end of last year, but it wasn't until 17th of March, almost 2 weeks ago, and 2 working days before the business meeting, that the report appeared on the Waitemata Local Board agenda, along with an opportunity for the board to recommend 1 of 4 options. The first was to review the rules alongside the next Auckland Unitary Plan review in 2026. The second was to incorporate the National Planning Statement 15 on noise, which would be helpful, but was what Council was obliged to do anyway. Thirdly, to tighten up rules in the Gulf Islands so they were the same as in the Auckland Unitary Plan area. And the fourth was to do this and take the Auckland Unitary Plan further by prohibiting new private helipads in urban residential areas. The cost of the 2 plan changes proposed in option 3 and 4 were estimated at $250,000 each, and board members were warned that they may be open to litigation. Staff recommended option 2. Despite the complexity of the issues, there was no opportunity for the Waitemata Local Board to have a workshop to discuss them and better understand what was at stake, and no opportunity to defer their feedback. They were advised it was the only opportunity to input into the Planning Committee decisions. So on the 21st, in a messy business meeting with the clock ticking, members developed their recommendations on the spot. They sought, amongst other things, that all helicopter consents, including variations, be publicly notified, that noise monitoring equipment be installed close to helipads at the consent holder's expense, to support Waiheke and Aotea's position, and they urged that Auckland Council makes it easier for affected residents to feedback on noise and downdraft issues. But the members were divided over whether they should actually be prohibited, and in the end, that amendment was defeated. On the Thursday the 23rd, 2 days later, the Waiheke Local Board resolved on their decisions. I asked Kath Handley, the chair of the local board, what people felt about helicopters on Waiheke.
I think a lot of people who are not the users of helicopters feel that their right to a tranquil life has been completely disrupted and are concerned that there is so little acknowledgement of the disruption to their lives.
You were involved in the resolution requesting that the rules were tightened up and there was a report done by council. Do you know who was consulted in the investigation for the council report?
Just those who own helipads and some helicopter companies. So it was a compliance report. It wasn't a report on behalf of residents about their views. It was an analysis that was done and subsequently a response to that analysis by council staff.
Could I ask what Waiheke resolved in their meeting last week?
So we have asked them to implement the National Planning Standard for Noise, which has been sitting around for several years and has never been implemented. It's a really easy thing to do. And what that does is we're at the moment, somebody wanting to install a helipad has to only demonstrate that, and I'll put it in layman's terms, it's not entirely the full formula, but that averaged over 3 days, people have only been exposed to 50 decibels. What the new standard says is that's nonsense because noise happens in real time. So they've done away at a national level, which is a really important thing to note because national standards take precedence over anything else, that noise isn't averaged. And when a helicopter lands or takes off, if you just sit in a modest helicopter, it might be that emits 85, 86 decibels, then you would be in breach of standards. We also institute a number of plan changes to what is the Auckland District Plan for the Hauraki Gulf Islands. And one of those is implementing what is another national standard on, which is a coastal statement, which applies to noise. And that standard, apart from protecting people, is designed to protect our ecology from the adverse effect of noise and vibration. And we very recently, just a couple of weeks ago, have had another helipad consented on Waiheke that flies directly over an endangered species. And that was brought to the council's attention. And I'm talking where the landing is not far from where this population is. And we've had other examples of absolutely pristine environments being impacted by helipads being consented, like on the edge of our only marine reserve that is, you know, right here on Waiheke on the southern side. The Te Matuku Marine Reserve had two helipads put in by one person, like literally right on the margins of that reserve. So this coastal standard also has not been applied by council in all the years for the Hauraki Gulf Island District Plan, in all the years that it's been on the books. So we think that is particularly negligent of council.
Did you support option three as the board to improve the planning standards so they were more aligned with the Auckland Unitary Plan?
Yes, but we've said apply option two straight away. That's the noise standard, because that can be done. Council planners told us last week that can be done with very little cost and within a fortnight. That could have been done all of the time since the people of Waiheke presented a petition to the planning committee, but it's never been given to anybody as an option. So we said yes with option two, and then we said and also option three, because it's not a choice between the two. You can do both, and both are necessary.
I spoke with Elena Keith of Quiet Sky Waitemata.
Can you tell me why you got involved in campaigning about helicopters?
Well, what we realised was that the current Auckland Unitary Plan does not adequately take into account people that might be occupying public spaces or beaches and reserves and the foreshore. And it's not just people that need to be protected, but also all potential helicopter sites, because they're in coastal environments. They often then have the impact effect on coastal birds and indigenous taxa that are threatened and endangered.
So have you always had an interest in helicopters, or was there some sort of catalyst that made you feel that you had to get actively involved?
Well, to be honest, I hadn't really thought about it up until this recently, where we had in the Westmere neighbourhood, there was an application for a helicopter site, which is on quite a prominent headland in the Waitemata Harbour. And that headland is surrounded by birds that use the seagrass meadows and that for foraging and also for roosting. And so any helicopter in activity in that area would directly impact on that wildlife. What we then also took into account was it wasn't just the residents in that neighbourhood that would be affected. It was special interest groups like the Sea Scouts, who frequently use that Cox's Bay area, kite surfers, kayakers, people who wander around the foreshore when the tide is out. So it's not just immediate neighbours, it's just take quite a wide area of impact for just one single helicopter in a residential neighbourhood.
Is it normal in cities to allow helicopters from people's backyards?
No, not normally. So Auckland's quite unusual in that we don't seem to have a long-term strategy around the number of helicopters that we might have. So say, for example, in Waiheke, there are now 66 permitted helipads. Now, for a land area of that size, that's just an extraordinary number. And you have to think about, where does this stop? In Auckland, there are 3,200 kilometres of coastal land. And so they can pop up anywhere, and the council doesn't seem to have a long-term strategy in place to reduce that number. So in cities like Sydney, Tokyo, there are restrictions on the amount of helicopters you can have, if at all. And Auckland just doesn't seem to have a plan for this. They do have climate goals in place where they want to reduce aviation emission by 50% as their transport emission reduction pathway, but they don't seem to have any long-term goals or strategies for actually reducing it. So it's kind of ludicrous that they're saying we've got to get everyone into public transport, but yet we're okay to have helicopters in residential neighbourhoods that are the most inefficient mode of transport. Aviation emission for Auckland is about 7% of all aviation emission, which is a significantly high number, and a lot of that's coming down to sort of commercial transport. And they say that helicopters won't contribute that much to it. But ultimately, if there is no plan to reduce or to stop the amount of helicopters that have been allowed into residential neighbourhoods, then that's just going to increase.
And have you spoken to anybody in areas where there are already regular helicopter movements in and out of backyards to just understand the impact on people and people's well-being?
Yeah, absolutely. So just over the way there up in Herne Bay, they've been dealing with this issue for a long time. And so it's not just immediate neighbours, like, you know, in the surrounding streets are affected, but the entire neighbourhood, every time the helicopter uses the coastal area, is kind of like a pathway, if you like. That sound travels quite widely, but then there's also those immediate effects where if someone is on a public reserve next to a helipad, they're directly affected. So if you're sitting there having a picnic or anything, then that helicopter can be quite intrusive. And council doesn't, beyond private property, they don't have a plan to protect people in those public spaces, so on beaches and reserves and parks. But on Waiheke, when we speak to Quiet Sky Waiheke, they have a significant issue with the amount of helicopters they've got. And if you've ever been to Waiheke on a Saturday afternoon, it's just constant movement of helicopters in and out of the island. And it's super intrusive. And there are many people who have moved to that place for the quietness and for the enjoyment of the environment. And to have that, their rights to a quiet environment taken away, it just sort of seems disproportionate.
I got the impression, looking at the council report, that there wasn't really a problem and there aren't that many complaints.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that low complaint counts doesn't indicate public opinion. It's nearly impossible to register a helicopter complaint with council. There's no online link to make a helicopter complaint. There's no online information for the heliport consent. So the public, when they make a complaint, they don't know what the conditions are that they're making a complaint against. So the investigators, when you do make a complaint, they want to know the date, the time, who the consent holder might be, what helicopter type was used, what helicopter ID was in place. That's quite a lot of information for the average person on the street to try and capture. And often they'll go, well, I don't know where the helicopter was landing. I could see it kind of landing in a general direction, but not in an exact place. So that's really hard to monitor. And so the public don't really know where to complain, how to complain, and what information is required. Not only that, when people have complained previously, they've been disregarded because the council said, oh, well, there's insufficient information. And so our experience is that members of the public have become really reluctant to engage in making complaints because of lack of success with past complaints. And so they just give up.
And yet 130 people wrote to council to oppose a variation to a helicopter consent quite recently, and no one was for there being more flights allowed. And I think you set up a petition about private helicopters. How many people did you get to sign it?
So we know the general public don't want helicopters in the neighbourhood, and we know because we asked them. So we sent out a petition last year. We didn't really publicise it. There was 1,500 signatures on that one. The Quiet Sky Waiheke set up a petition. They had 1,500 people sign it. So there's over 3,000 people who are saying that they don't want helicopters in their neighbourhoods. The 130 people who wrote to council to oppose that variation on those increased flights in Herne Bay really shows the level of interest and engagement from the public on this issue. We're talking one helipad in one residential neighbourhood to have 130 submissions. That's very much in the higher end of submissions for council. And I think that should be a really clear indication that these are not wanted and they are no longer appropriate for the goals that council is trying to put in place to make fundamental shifts to how we power our personal travel.
Tomorrow the Planning Committee are due to decide upon the options, but there's no report on the public agenda for them because staff are incorporating the views of local boards. A report will be provided to councillors prior to making a decision, but it does not seem that councillors have been offered a chance to workshop this item either or discuss with their constituents what has been proposed. We'll wait and see what they decide.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.